And the gospel writer Luke tells us about how the church became into being. But before the church was born, and before the Holy Spirit comes down, we mark the ascension of the Lord into heaven. It has been a while since Jesus has been risen and known to the disciples. And in this morning's passage, and in this service this morning, we talk about the ascension of the Lord. So hear now the words of Scripture as they come to us from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day that he was taken up into heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that God has chosen, that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This ends the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. Since last week was annual conference in Lakeland, Jessica and I took a few moments away from conference to go visit my folks down in St. Petersburg. It's always nice for Jessica and I to go there. It turns out that my parents' house is kind of a black hole of sorts, because it seems that when we get in there, all time stops, all things move in slow motion, and all the craziness and whirlwind that goes on in our lives, especially related to annual conference, just slows down. And everything moves that much slower. And it's a time for me to go see some things that I grew up with, some of my childhood toys. And one of the things that I discovered was something that I hadn't taken notice of in a very long time. It was in my bathroom, one of the bathrooms in my parents' house. And for some reason, I took notice of this picture that has been hanging on the wall. It's probably older than I am. But as long as I can remember that bathroom, this picture was hanging on one of the walls. I'll describe it to you. It's probably hard to see. I'm sure you can maybe see the image of this little kitty cat that is in the middle of a picture. It's a little kitten that's a beautiful little cuddly orange color. The cat looks like it's standing in a doorway, looking up at an open door. For some reason, one of the adults, I guess, had left the door open, and a curious little kitty had started to make its way through the doorway to try to discover what was in the room. And then at the bottom of this picture are some words, words that I'm sure you have heard before, but somehow add a little bit of specialness to this picture. The words say, when God closes one door, he opens another. When God closes one door, he opens another. I don't know why I didn't take notice of this picture before. I mean, it was there every day that I grew up. Maybe I thought it was odd that a picture like this would be in a bathroom. And maybe I didn't quite know what a curious little cat had to do with you and me. But we've heard the phrase before. When God closes one door, he opens another. You heard that before? It's a great phrase. It's a wonderful idea. And it suggests that no matter what tragedy or anxiety or hopes that get dashed upon the rocks of reality that you face, whatever doors close in your lives, God always finds a way to open up another door. Let's look at the scripture lesson. The scene takes place at the end of Jesus' earthly existence. It's at the first part of the book of Acts. And if you could imagine, Jesus is standing there on top of a mountain, and all around him are the disciples, his followers, that had been following him for the past 3.5 years. Just think about what these disciples had been through. Just in the last 3.5 years of their lives, they had been plucked out of relative obscurity, called by Jesus to follow him, not knowing what on earth that would involve. And then they became part of a traveling troupe of preachers and teachers and miracle workers, and they watched as Jesus did some amazing things. Made blind people see, made lame people walk, made people who were deaf and dumb whole again. And then they had watched as Jesus confronted the religious authorities of the day, had preached some very controversial words, had rocked the foundation of religious thought, and the disciples had watched every step and every word. And then they grieved with disbelief at the news of Jesus' death, and how he had been beaten and persecuted and tried and put to death. But in the past 40 days, they received something else, another bit of news that shocked their world, that Jesus was alive, no longer dead. Have you been through so much in the past 3.5 years? The disciples certainly had been through a lot. And now all of that had come to this very moment, on top of this mountain. What was going on in their minds? What was going on in their heads as they were standing looking at the face of a truly risen, very alive Jesus Christ? And Jesus said to them, "It's time for me to go. It's time for me to go. I'm going to leave." Could you imagine what the disciples were thinking and feeling? I know what I would be thinking. I'd be saying, "Jesus, why do you have to go? After all, Jesus had conquered death. There was nothing that could stop him now. He had been the object of the ultimate miracle. He was the walking, talking, breathing, living proof that he was the Messiah." I would say to Jesus, if I were a disciple, "Jesus, you've got the world right where you want them. Right where you need it to be." You could come up to any skeptic, any person with the hardest heart, any person with the greatest doubt, and just by showing yourself to them, they would believe. "Jesus, for the past 3.5 years, we have met the people who refused to believe in you. And now you can walk up to them and not even say a word. Just think about the power of your message now when you are able to just show yourself. You could make believers out of them all. Just think about that, Jesus. You could walk up to Pontius Pilate, that very man who sentenced you to death, and you wouldn't have to say a word, and he would believe. Every Pharisee and every Sadducee would become part of the kingdom. Even that rich young ruler who refused to sell his possessions because it was too hard would do so if they merely saw the nail-scarred hands and the nail-scarred feet and a living, breathing Jesus. It would have been great to see Jesus spend the next 33 years of his life continuing his earthly existence. And it would have been great for the disciples to be part of that, because life would have been a whole lot easier. They wouldn't have to fear for their lives anymore. They wouldn't have to worry about the future. They would be able to realize the dream that Jesus had in their lives, that they would be part of something great. And it would be a whole lot easier if Jesus would just stick around. The disciples saw the future and the possibilities. And if Jesus would just stay with them, there would be a huge door of opportunity wide open for them. But you know, that wasn't Jesus' plan. It wasn't God's plan to keep that door open for Jesus to stick around. Because for some reason, God chose to shut that door and for Jesus to rise up again. That's what this whole dialogue means in this first part of Acts. When the disciples say, Lord, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to stick around so we can see this kingdom come to be? But Jesus says no. Jesus says it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by His own authority. Jesus says this is God's timing, not yours. This is God's plan, not the disciples. Even though you see a door of opportunity wide open, God's going to shut that door because it's not part of God's plan. And what the disciples surely would have loved and wanted Jesus to do was not going to happen. Do you see how you can enter the picture now? Do you see our entry point in the passage this morning? Because all of us this morning, in some way or another, have felt that God in some way has shut a door in our lives. Maybe for you, there is a dream that you have had for your entire life that you know is not going to happen. Maybe there's a dream or a hope or an ambition that you feel for yourself or for your family, for a loved one, for your church, or for the world. And every time you feel like you're getting just enough, close enough to taste it, the door shuts. Maybe it is starting to become clear to you that all those things that you have hoped for and worked for, spent your time and your energy pleading and asking and hoping for, is not going to happen. Maybe there's a label on that door that has just shut. Maybe that label is career. Or maybe that label on that door is health or security. Or maybe it's certainty of the future. Or maybe it's peace in the world. Or maybe it's justice in the communities. Or maybe it's well-being for the church. Whatever that door is, maybe this morning you feel like that door has been shut. For what you see as an end, God sees as a beginning. That door that you see shut in your lives merely means that you need to look somewhere else. Because as this picture suggests, and as our scripture lesson suggests, when God closes a door, God's opening another one. And even though the disciples saw a closed door when Jesus went up and left them, there was a door opening at that very moment. Do you know what next week is? The Sunday that follows Ascension Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the day that the Holy Spirit comes. When the church is born, when God gives final witness to the fact that we are not alone. So that when the disciples saw Jesus leave and a door close, they had barely enough time to grieve before they started speaking in tongues, because the Holy Spirit came down and God finally said, you are never going to be alone. And what's more, this is what Jesus says. After I'm gone, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Before they knew it, after Jesus would leave, the Holy Spirit would come down, and the world would transform. And the first people that would need to be transformed are the disciples themselves. Just look at what happens to them after Jesus leaves. If Jesus hadn't left, none of this would have happened to the disciples. Because the disciples were transformed from followers of Jesus into leaders of the church. They were transformed from spectators of the gospel into messengers of the gospel. They were transformed from disciples into apostles, from those who were called out to those who were sent forth. When God closes one door, God opens another, and your life is never the same. That's what the disciples would learn. That if Jesus would leave, the Holy Spirit would come down, and God would use the disciples in a new way to make a difference in the world in a way that wouldn't be possible before. There's a lot of hope here. So as you stare at those closed doors of your life, you need to realize that God has not stopped working, that God has not stopped throwing doors of opportunity open for you, so that God can use you to truly make a difference in the world. The gospel didn't die when Jesus rose up, because the disciples were now going to be the ones to carry that message to the entire world. Ascension Sunday is about Jesus' departure from earth, but it's also about your transformation, about the new possibilities that God has in store for you, so that you need not look at your doors as closed, but only the doors that are open, because God wants to do something new in your life. God wants to do something new through your life, so that just like the disciples, you would be changed to preach the gospel, to touch people's lives, to make a difference in the world. So if I had it to do over again, I would have scribbled a few words at the bottom of this picture so that it would read, "When God closes one door, He opens another, so that God can use you to make a difference in the world." That is the story of Ascension Sunday and Pentecost to come. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.